Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The account we hear in our gospel reading is a story that we have the opportunity to rehearse fairly often in our life together. Every time God gives us the privilege of welcoming a little one through the washing of baptism, we've heard this story before. We know when to cringe at the disciples. We know when to say, "Aw," as Jesus takes up the children in his arms to bless them. Because most of us have grown up with a picture of Jesus as the lover of children, rightly so, we reflexively recoil at hearing of his followers, the disciples, the ones who should have known him and his mission best, becoming baby bouncers, driving the little ones and their parents away. Push a child away from Jesus? How misguided can you be? So we as the church seek to learn our lesson from this encounter. We try to vicariously learn so that we do not make the same mistake the disciples made on that particular day. We baptize our babies. With a program like Foundations, we seek to equip parents and young families to lay those foundations of faith and to share Jesus with their little ones at home. We have a Sunday school program with dedicated teachers. We have a pretty amazing Christian preschool, and we're associated with solid Christian day schools and a high school. We put on a lively, energetic week of vacation Bible school every summer. And now, as a congregation, we're in the process of investing a serious capital, serious dollars, in a full-time person who's going to be in the role of helping us, leading the way as we disciple children and young families so that they would know the love of Christ. Why? Because Jesus loves children. Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And because we want children and their parents to know that, to believe it, and to rejoice in it. And so we thank and praise God for all the ways in which he works through his church for the benefit of his little ones. And yet, as we consider such a list of efforts, we can be tempted to believe, perhaps, that Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, is not speaking to us. He's speaking to those other guys. The other people who find a way to get in the way of children as they come to Jesus. The ones perhaps who don't have some of the programming that we're blessed to have. In this account, we imagine that we're the ones standing alongside Jesus or perhaps squatting down next to him with our arms stretched open, welcoming the little ones, speaking with righteous indignation to the disciples. But if we were to take a closer look at God's word and at our lives, we might find that Jesus is directing his words also to us, correcting us, revealing the ways in which we have acted and are acting as a stumbling block for kids who need to know the love of a Savior. When we take a look at ourselves honestly, God's Spirit is able to reveal ways in which we've hindered at times rather than helped children to see and to know the love of Jesus. For example, too many church leaders in our culture have participated in scandalous behavior. Those who are tasked with speaking for the church and serving as examples for the faithful have instead used their positions to do harm to the little ones, to the young people entrusted to their care. We hear about this a lot right now. How many hear this news, news of evil coupled with news of cover-up, and ultimately conclude that they want nothing to do with the church, and by extension, with the one we proclaim as Savior and King. Closer to home, perhaps, we at times hinder our children from knowing the love of Christ when we spend our time and our energy bad-mouthing other Christians and other churches, privately and publicly. Yes, there are times when there are legitimate differences between us that are worthy of discussion, worthy of occasional debate in the right settings, as we desire to hold on to God's truth. But we can easily sour our children's perception of the church at large if we focus our energy on pointing out all the faults and the failings of our brothers and sisters in other congregations and other church bodies. Or we can, as the church, hinder children from coming to Jesus to find love and joy in Him when we fail to paint a positive picture of the hope that is ours in Christ. Instead, too often framing things in negative ways, that is, talking about what we are against rather than what we are for. Yes, we know that there are others in the culture who tend to be more antagonistic to the church, and they will frame our stances in negative ways. And in many respects, we can't get away from that. We can't change the way that they talk about us. But we can control how we speak concerning the hope that is ours in Christ, the great good news of the salvation that He has come to bring for us, the beautiful life and design for which He has made us. Too often we haven't done a great job of that. Hindering children were only the problem of the church at large. And yet, when we look at our lives individually and as families, we see that we fall into some of these traps as well. There are some ways I believe that we personally also hinder children from coming to be blessed by their Savior. For example, our kids can't drive. We can. Because of laziness, perhaps, or competing priorities, are we keeping our children away? Keeping them from getting here? From getting to opportunities to gather around God's Word with God's people? Or, in our homes, do we too often negatively speak of the church and our interactions that happen in the congregation? I believe, by the way, that this one is especially tempting if you are a full-time church worker. Taking perhaps a negative or draining experience home and talking about it in a way that causes our children perhaps to have a negative perception of the things that go along in the church. Do we unconditionally love our brothers and sisters in Christ with the language that we use at home, in our families? Or are we giving our children reasons to want to avoid the church and its Savior later in life because of how we speak? Do we hinder our children from knowing the love of Jesus because we fail to model Christ's self-giving love? Instead, we engage perhaps in selfish behavior. Jesus has spent the first chunk of Mark chapter 10 talking about the subject of marriage and divorce. Within that context of marriage, there's all sorts of opportunities to live selfishly or obliviously. Do we fall into that trap sometimes and as a result fail to give our children a picture of Jesus' self-giving love? One final way that perhaps we hinder our children from knowing and coming to see Jesus and His love is a way that I think is especially prevalent among my generation. And by that, I mean, in our home life, with our kids, are we so distracted by our side pursuits, by our work, by our devices, that we are tempted to not give our children the time of day? We say that Jesus welcomes children and that He's always present with us. But the question becomes, and I'm asking this of myself, am I actually present with my children? not just physically in the room with them, but am I actually there to listen to them, to speak life-giving words into their lives, to give them guidance and to actually answer their questions and to love them and to receive them and to hold them? Or is my example at home hindering them at times? Perhaps Jesus really is talking to us, to me, today. Perhaps at times I've been a better wall than a window when it comes to revealing who the Savior is and His heart toward us. This message is convicting for you as it is for me. I think it's time for us to hear Jesus' words again. But this time, don't hear them as the disciples getting chided. I want you to hear them as children. Jesus says, "Permit the children to come to me." Jesus doesn't say these words, "Permit the children to come to me," because children are by nature innocent. If you've raised children for more than 10 minutes, you know that that's not the case. No, Jesus welcomes children because He loves children. And He, in love, He invites them to trust Him the way that children do. And His words to children are His words to you and to me today. He says, "Come. Don't be hindered by your doubts or your guilt. Come and find forgiveness for your failures. Come, and you will have my undivided attention. I will receive you and love you and stick with you. As you question what is going on in your life, I will hear your prayers. I will listen to your conversations. Come and experience my love, which is nothing at all like a paycheck for the deserving. Rather, it's a whole lot more like a father sprinting down the road to wrap his arms around a wayward son. Come, bringing nothing with you, and yet expecting to leave, possessing everything you could possibly need for this life and for the life of the age to come. Come." He says, "My arms are open to you. They bear the same marks that I received when I opened them to you for good on the cross to make you the people of God." He says, "Come, child. Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Our Savior invites you to hear these words again today as the washed in the water children of God that you are. He invites you again today to come to the table where He desires once more to feed you with His forgiveness and His love. And then, secure in that love, He will send us His children out to welcome others that they might also receive His love as the beloved children of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, the one who welcomes us as the children of God. In His name, amen.